Testing? Testing, there we are. Just make a brief thing before we get going here. I seem to have misplaced the offering we took last night, so if we could get all the deacons that were here last night, we'll just take it again. That's okay. Okay, you're on to me.
Good morning. Beautiful morning. He is risen. Praise God. He is risen. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. It's a beautiful day. Every day that you can look at somebody else, it's a beautiful day. Praise God. We're just kind of getting settled. Praise God. Praise God. You're sitting there in anticipation of something happening. Bless your hearts. Let us bow our heads in prayer, please. Father, as we come to you this morning with a thankful heart for what you do for each and every one of us, we praise your name. We love you, Lord. We bring ourselves to you as open vessels this morning that we may receive from you those things that are needful in each and every one of us. We thank you for your kindness and your blessings to us. We look forward to singing praise unto you this morning. We look forward to those things that you have to minister to us by your Spirit, Lord. Not by man, but by your Spirit. We thank you, O God, for coming and visiting with us, being here in our midst, so that we may, in all sincerity and love, partake of what you have for us, Lord. We ask your blessing on us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. He arose. Can we sing that? I don't have the words. Is the words? He arose from the deep. What is it? You have to help me. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. 47 in the red book. Somebody said page 20 in the red book. Low in the grave, he lay, it's page 20 then. Low in the grave, he lay, Jesus my Savior. Waiting the coming day, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave, he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose the victor of the dark domain. He lives forever with the saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Hallelujah. Would you like to stand, please?
Lord, the grave he lay.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I think that's why we're here today.
Amen.
Jesus, our Savior. The grave couldn't hold him. Praise God. Last night, he arose in many people's hearts, in many people's minds, in many people's bodies. He arose last night, not by our will, but by his. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? They said, don't preach a sermon between songs, but sometimes you have to. But sometimes you have to. You have to know what you're doing. You have to know what you're singing. You have to know and feel. You have to come, and it's not superficial. It's that deep within. Praise God. It's that settling in your heart. You've satisfied something. You've come to the altar last night. Problems that you've had now have gone away, haven't they? Oh, you're hanging on to them. Oh, don't hang on to them. Let them go. Let them go, please. Hallelujah. I'll show you a picture of a man about my size and stature coming down the aisle with his big load on his back, coming to the altar. He's bringing his all to the altar in this big bag, and he sets it down. Then he gets prayed for. And you anticipate that he has been released. But before he goes back to his seat, he looks at that load that he brought up, and oh my. You know, if I leave all that here, when it comes time for me to have a conversation with somebody or a dispute with somebody, I'm going to need some of that material I had. So he gets the bag and he starts packing it up again. He didn't pack it all up, but he packed enough up that he had to trudge again back to his seat. Sometimes, you know, we just have to leave it all. It's not ours to carry anymore. We've given it to him, Jesus Christ, our Savior. If we can do that, if we can leave it at the altar, hallelujah, he has risen in our hearts. Praise God. You have a song that you'd like to sing this morning? Would you come, please? Sonia has a song we're going to sing. And then, when she has finished that, we're going to take the communion. So the brethren that are going to handle the communion, would you go to the table, please? When she's ready, done. And then would the deacons that handle the communion, would you come then when the brethren have stepped up to the table? And then we'll serve the communion. We like to serve it early on Sunday morning for those that have to get away early. We don't want them to miss out on the blood and body of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who shared himself with us. Praise God. And we are so thankful. The ordinances that we take it every Sunday morning. We have all picked up something on our trek through the week. We're going to lay it on the altar and leave it there today. Praise God. Come on, Sonia. Sonia Gabber.
I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. But in every situation, God gave blessed consolation that my trials come to only make me strong. Through it all,
and
the way of the Lord, simple, saith the Lord, even unto his people doth he not then declare. my sheep and I care for them. I am their shepherd, saith the Lord. They can trust in my covering. They can have confidence where I lead them. For do I not lead my sheep in a right way, saith the Lord? Do I not lead them on a right path, saith the Lord? Are there not times when I bring you beside the still waters and feed you in the green pastures, saith the Lord? And even in the time of storm and in the time of trouble, my hand surrounds you and keeps you and shelters you, saith the Lord, that ye may not be overcome. For ye are my sheep, ye are the sheep of my pasture, and I am thy shepherd, saith the Lord. Therefore follow me, be thou numbered amongst those who follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. For I lead thee in a right path, and thou shalt indeed inherit the promises that are before thee, saith the Lord.
That Noah was familiar with when the rains came, and that was the ark. And I say to you that I am teaching you to become familiar with the anointing, because that will be the only thing you will recognize in the coming day, saith the Lord, and it shall be a great comfort to thee, and it shall my spirit shall steady you, my presence shall feed you, saith the Lord, and you shall not perish, but you shall walk on with me, saith the Lord. Therefore continue to bask in the anointing of the Lord your God, for that anointing is becoming familiar to you and comfortable and precious and dear, and you must walk with me more and more in that anointing, saith the Lord.
In my image, in my nature, are you not my people? Have I not bought you by paying a price to make you my own, my chosen one? My people, are you not mine? You do not belong to the world. You are in this world, yet you live in me, my people. The realm that you live is not earthly. The realm you should live is spiritual. My people, have I not called you for a purpose that will be fulfilled in you? How can I unfulfill what has been promised to you, what has been told to you from time to time? Have I not reminded you from time to time, my people, what has to be done in your spiritual calling? Therefore, saith the Lord, walk steadily. Walk with awareness of your calling. Walk with an objective that I have in you, my people. I have not called you without a purpose. I have called you, each one of you, with a specific purpose, my people. Is not my anointing upon you? Has it not been poured upon you? Many times haven't you felt my anointing? Is it not ministering to you from time to time? Isn't it in a voice to the walk, to the realm into which I've called you.
Open your ears and hear the words that were spoken to you. Open your eyes and see the path that I have set before you. For yea, I have given you all the tools that are needed to go forth and do the work that I have given you. And yea, open your eyes, open your heart, and walk forth in that truth that I have given you.
I desire, my beloved, that you will walk in this way. Do not listen to the voices from afar, from east or west, from north or south. They are very enticing, but don't pay any attention to them. For I say unto you this day, this is the way. Walk ye in it, saith the Lord.
Many things this weekend have I not spoken unto you, my heart's desire for my body. Yea, my people, I say unto thee, fear thou not to walk with me on this straight and narrow path that I have called thee unto. Fear thou not, my people, to lay down the things in your life that I have touched. For lo, I say, as you do lay these things down, shall I not fill them with my presence? Shall I not fill them with my power and my spirit to overcome all things? And lo, I say unto thee, as you walk step by step with me and fulfill that which I have asked thee to do by my spirit, thou shalt begin to move as you have never thought possible. For you shall begin to see captives set free. You shall begin to see the blind eyes opened, that they may see and they may know where they can turn to because of the steadfastness that will be in your life. O, my people, fear thou not to walk with me, for I have called thee this way. And I will not leave thee nor forsake thee, but I will walk with thee all the way, saith the Lord.
I want to give unto you more. I want to give you all that I can. And I do not just give to you here. I give to you wherever you are, whenever. Whenever you come to me, my people.
many, many years in construction. Yea, my children, that was in the natural, and I am doing the same in the spirit this hour. Many, many years, there has been a plan. There has been a spiritual ark in building, and many would scoff, and many would look and have opinions. But I say unto thee, be thou steadfast. Have thou that spirit that Noah had, that was steadfast in building day after day, week after week, year after year, constructing, moving forward. Yea, I say, day by day you may not see the progress, but I say unto thee, I am building an ark, and there will be judgment upon the earth. Yea, and they that have known the ark will enter in, for I shall cause those to enter in that should be saved, saith the Lord. Yea, my children, do not look with the eye nor with the ear. The only way you can measure is in the realm of the Spirit about the ark that I am building today, saith the Lord.
For what you know is coming up. But I say unto thee, also be prepared for what you don't know is coming up. For I say unto thee, my children, from time to time there is change, and from time to time things come up that you are not prepared for. But I say unto thee, if thou wouldst always prepare thy heart, thou would pass all the tests that I give thee. And as you pass those tests, say, the promise to the overcomer will come to pass. Yeah, even like preparing for an exam and not feeling that you are at all ready, but just continuing to go over the material, I say, eventually the material is mastered. And yea, and I say unto thee, eventually the exam has passed, and eventually that exam has an A written on it, and I say unto thee that exam which you are writing, oh, spend much time in study, though you may not feel that you are getting places, you may not feel that you understand the material, but I say unto thee that thou shalt pass this test, and thou shalt have that crown, and thou shalt sit on my right hand and be the pillar. Thou shalt eat of the hidden manna, I say unto thee, thou shalt do great things upon this earth.
Come up higher, be not afraid. Give yourself to me, says the Lord. And as you stand on the mountain, you look to the north and the south, and the east and the west, what would you behold, says the Lord thy God? For my glory doth surround you by day and by night. Yea, says the Lord thy God, bask in my glory, for my glory dwelleth within you. As I tabernacle with my people, and I led the children of Israel, says the Lord thy God, a pillar of fire by night, and a pillar of cloud by day, mine anointing and my glory that rested upon you this day, says the Lord thy God. Walk, be not afraid, walk boldly, and walk in my presence, says the Lord. I will lead you to pastures, I will lead you to areas that you've never been before. I will open up my wide vista before you, for my will and my purposes are beyond yours, says the Lord thy God. Yea, my thoughts are above your thoughts, my ways are above your ways, says the Lord thy God. Yea, I will break through the walls, and I will crumble the things that come up before you, and I will cause you, and I will give you that strength to run through that troop and to leap over that wall, and ye shall see the glory of the Lord thy God. The water shall be parted before you. Yea, says the Lord thy God, the enemies shall be defeated before your eyes, and you shall see the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord that dwell with you, says the Lord thy God. Walk in my glory, walk in my presence, says the Lord thy God. I am doing a greater thing, says the Lord. I am doing new things among my people. Be not afraid. Enter in fully by faith and believe my promises. For my promises are yea and amen to those who believe. My promises are fulfilled daily, momentarily, because there is a contract made with you, O my people. Be thou my people. I am your God. I will never forsake you. I will never leave you. My everlasting love is before you, says the Lord thy God. As you walk before me, I will give you the right decisions. I will brighten your pathway. Come up to the mountain and walk in my glory. Thus saith the Lord thy God to the church.
Valley of the dry bones. Yea, did I not call my servant and say, prophesy unto them? Was the prophecy not the voice of the Lord? It was not the voice of man. And did they not react, saith the Lord? And yea, did I not say, prophesy again? And the word of the Lord went forth, and sinew grew upon the bones. And yea, did I not say, prophesy again and again, until they stood up a mighty army, saith the Lord? Was it not my voice, saith the Lord, that brought life to them? And then did I not breathe into them the breath of life? Was it not the breath of the Father, saith the Lord? It was not the breath of man. It was the breath of the Almighty God that did breathe the life. It is the life of the Almighty God that does breathe upon thee this day and does cause thee to stand up a mighty army that shall go forth and defeat the enemy. It is not the breath of man, saith the Lord. It is not the breath of man. It is the breath of the Almighty, my people. It is the breath of the Almighty that does bring forth life. It is the breath of the Almighty that does bring forth victory, saith the Lord. Therefore, listen not to the voice of man, but listen to that breath of life, that you may live, saith the Lord thy God.
Stand fast in what God has revealed unto thee, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. What I have lifted from thy shoulders and from thy heart, yea, leave it with me. Look unto me daily for my strength, and I will give it unto thee. What are the things that would entangle thee? Is it the desire to walk as close to the world? Is it the desire to be successful? Is it a desire to be recognized? What is the yoke of bondage that would entangle thee? Be thou very careful. Seek me in every decision that you make. And if it is pleasing in my sight, I will be happy with thee, and you will feel the Spirit, Holy Spirit upon thee, just of being there and guiding and directing every step. But yea, my people, stand ye fast in what the Lord has shown unto thee, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage.
Would you come? Praise God. Brethren are going to serve the communion. Would the deacons come, please? Oh, just maybe before you come, they may address the communion before the deacons come. It's coming.
I'll read a scripture from Luke's Gospel. I think chapter 19. Oh, no. Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, verses 15 through 23. Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, verses 15 through 23. And he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide among you, for I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, given to you, do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you, but the hand of him who is going to betray me is with me, with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe to that man who betrays him. Jesus desired to be with the disciples to the last Passover. In fact, when Jesus did this last Passover with the disciples, he was setting the institution of the Holy Communion into the New Testament, and which apostles did practice, as a matter of fact, every day when they met in the temple. They broke bread and prayed. Today, we are here to partake of the communion that is in front of us. We have the bread and the cup. Bread is unleavened bread, and the wine is unleavened wine. This indicates the purity of Jesus Christ. And as we partake of the communion, we are not simply partaking of the elements that is present here. Instead, we are partaking very Christ through the elements. We believe, and it is true, there is an impartation, a spiritual impartation, as we break and partake it in a reverential manner. This is not a ritual, even though we do this every Sunday. We are not partaking anymore in the slain lamb of the Paschal lamb, but we are partaking in the new covenant. Praise God. Every time we should remind ourselves, no matter how small your assembly is, the power of the communion is the same in regard, disregard of the size of the assembly. So this morning, as we partake of the communion, we would like to admonish you this morning, partake believing there is spiritual impartation from it. That is the miracle of the communion. They call Eucharist, meaning celebration of joy. When we have the communion, we remember the passion of Christ on the cross of Calvary. At the same time, our hearts rejoice, for he is no longer in the tomb. He arose, and lives in you and in me.
Amen.
That is the key, people of God.
Yes.
As we partake of the communion, we believe there is a power from heaven will come down, and it will change our lives. As in Corinthians, we read, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we read about how Paul received this particular revelation about the communion. And he keeps on, there is one, let me quickly read that, then I'm going to close. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It's very important we should once in a while read this, you know. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Dear brothers and sisters, as we break the bread, we are partaking of his spiritual body. As we partake of the cup, we partake, he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." This is not a memorial. This is an everyday event in our life, because we are partaking Christ. As a matter of fact, in the early days of apostles, whenever they met, they had the communion. Now we have in a convenience on Sunday mornings, but let us take it very seriously. One more verse, then I'm going to This is very important. Everything is important, but this one. Verse 27, therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. There has been a misunderstanding among the people. I am not worthy to partake of the communion. If anything that makes you to think the reason of unworthiness, this is the time to repent and acknowledge whatever the reason impeding you from participating in this communion and ask God to forgive you. Because no one is cursed or went to damnation by partaking in the communion. Communion is a blessing because we are partaking the very eternal life. Praise God. So before that, we examine ourselves. Give a moment as the bread is being passed. Take a little, a sizable portion from the bread, not just a little pinch of it, but like a sizable portion. Hold in your hand reverently and partake, examining it as we pray for it. God bless you.
The deacons, come forward, please. Or are you going to say anything more, Rick? Were you going to say something else? Or Rick's going to say one more thing.
The bread that we take, which a lot of you know that, is unleavened. And it is there because Christ had no sin. Amen. And leaven is the indication that there's sin in whatever you're partaking. And when we're looking at the spiritual side of communion. But the bread itself is unleavened. It has no natural yeast to it, and it does not rise. So there is no, as it Christ was, he did not sin, and you're partaking of a sinless body of Christ. The blood, the cup is the same way. The wine is usually prepared, the sacramental wine is prepared without unnatural yeast. It's a natural thing that it is fermented with. And when that happens, then it has a pure state, and it does not grow old or anything like that because it has that pure state. And partaking of that cup is partaking of Christ's blood, which was pure and without sin. As we examine our hearts, I've mentioned this to you before. The time to do that is, I'm examining my heart every time I come in here, and it's a continual thing. And most of you last night examined your heart before you came to the altar, and it was a glorious time of releasing and so forth. But what you do when you examine, and I think of this every time, I say to the Lord, and this is just a little example so that you can maybe see that the proper way to do this would be as it is passed, and we hold it in the right hand, and the reason we do that is because of unity. We want to be unified when we partake. But we say, Lord, we close our eyes, we shut out the world. We say, Lord, is there anything that I have done that's displeasing to you? Is there anything? Show me now. And we take that quiet time for the Lord to say, put his finger on something. And do I have anything against my brother or sister? Show me now. And we wait. And if it's clear, then we think about what Christ did for us. We remember that, like Brother Matthew said. We remember his suffering. Remember his agony in Gethsemane and the agony at the cross. and then we thank him. And if there is anything that we've done, and I appreciate this scripture so much, that we don't say, well, I've done this, and so I'm not going to eat. No. We say, Lord, take it away. And then we eat. And that is a very powerful thing to restore us, even in communion, to that place. So that there will be healing for us in that thing that the Lord revealed to us, but also healing for these bodies. And many a person was healed by taking of the Holy Communion. And I believe if you have an illness or something there that you just commit it to the Lord and say, I'm going to take this communion, Lord, for that wonderful healing. And many a testimony has been given for that partaking of the bread and of the cup. And I've said what I'm going to say, and now will the deacons come and we'll serve the communion.
Reason that we don't sing during the taking of the bread. You can hardly sing and examine yourself at the same time. So, as was explained this morning, it's a time of self-examination. Praise God.
Loving Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for you have kept us in the land of the living to partake of you through this element, bread, which is grounded and powdered before it became the bread. Lord, you were crushed for us. You suffered for us. We remember, Lord, that cross even now. Also, Lord, we rejoice you're no longer on the cross. You rose from the tomb. Today, Lord, this provision you have made us to partake of you, the resurrected Christ, through this element. Lord God, bless your people as they break the bread and partake of it together, O Lord. We also, Lord, we pray for the virtue of healing to flow into this earthen vessels, Lord, as we partake of your body. We bless this bread in Jesus' name and break it.
anyone been missed?
Please hold your right hand. Let's all partake together.
Lord, you're the Savior of our soul.
Amen.
You're the one that makes us whole. We come to you just as we are.
Yes.
Lord, all can partake who know you and know your holiness. Lord, we bless this cup. We ask, Lord, that you will bless it, Lord, that if anyone needs strength today,
yes,
that you will give them strength, oh God. If anyone needs healing today,
Lord God,
that you will heal their bodies, oh Lord. As we bless this cup, which your blood has been shed for us, Lord, let us know that we do have that advocate with the Father, that if we have done anything, Lord, if we confess our sins, that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, that righteousness is what we desire. As we partake, Lord,
yes,
let us partake of this life and go from here, Lord, with that life flowing through us, not only for ourselves, but for others. Bless everyone that partakes this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's hold the cup.
Thank you very much. While they're sitting down, I'd like you to sing wherever I can, I'll praise him. Wherever I am, I'll praise him. Wherever I can, I'll praise him. Would you stand for a moment, please? It's on page 159. It's just four lines long. Yes, please, Ryan. And listen to the words as you're singing them. Okay? Listen to the words as you're singing. Wherever I am, I'll praise him. Wherever I can, I'll praise him. For his love surrounds me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus. For the name of Jesus, what lifted me? Hallelujah. Praise God. Wherever I am, praise him. Wherever I can, I'll praise him. For his love surrounds me like the sea. For the name of Jesus, lift up the name of Jesus. For the name of Jesus, lift it me.
We've had a wonderful time together this past few days. I feel like we have feasted at the table. I feel like that. Yeah. The Lord is good to us. There's just some thoughts as we are coming to the close of these meetings. The Lord has kind of spoken to us, laid out a few things for us that have really kind of, I don't know how you feel, but it just seems to me like the hour that we live in and the hour that we walk in, the Lord is just bringing us right into that place. I mean, sometimes it has seemed like these things are kind of afar off. I don't feel like they're far off. I don't know how you feel, but I feel like we are beginning to tread on holy ground. Yeah, we are beginning to enter into those things. And no doubt, as that comes about, there is great rejoicing in that. But it is going to be also required that we hold the course. We walk the road. There's less and less room for running around and doing our own thing and just focusing and let the Lord guide our life and guide our steps. I have lots of sidelines. I've got lots of things I really get interested in. I really like to spend time with them. There, it comes to a place where some of those things may have to just kind of go by the way. You kind of feel like that. This is a time where the Lord is bringing it together. He is bringing it together. I really appreciated some of the things that have been ministered to us these few days. How that the plan that the Lord has had for us is one plan. It has been unfolding from the very outset. When the Lord laid it down, it has never wavered. It has never wavered. And we are walking in that. I just felt to remind us this morning that our walk is a walk by faith. It's a walk by faith. There's two things about that. There's two things about that. One thing is, it's rock solid sure. I kind of like the way that Brother Luff touched on that. He said, these are facts. That's what they are. When the Lord lays them out for us, those things are rock solid. They will be as He has said. And the other side of that, the other aspect of walking by faith, that there may not always be a lot of outward show at the time. These things will transpire, and it may not always be evident that they are transpiring in an outward show. And I just say that because oftentimes there's a tendency to run to places where the activity seems to be. But that is not where the Spirit of the Lord is working. I was just kind of reminded a little bit about Abraham and the promises that the Lord gave to Abraham and his wife Sarah. And He told Abraham that this country that you live in is yours. For you and for your descendants, He has given it to you. All of your descendants will occupy this. That will be theirs. And the other thing was that his descendants, that through his descendants, would all the nation of the earth be blessed. And you know, there was not a lot of show about that. I have this mental picture. It's probably not very accurate, but this picture of Abraham, who was an elderly man at this time, and his wife, who had never had any children, and the Lord speaking to Abraham those words. And in spite of the outward appearance, those things were rock solid. They were facts. Those things would take place. And Abraham laid hold of those promises by faith. And as the Lord is speaking to us about the road, about the way that we are on, we are having to lay hold of those things by faith. We are having to let the Spirit of the Lord make them real to our heart. If we're looking for the big evidence of it, and if we're looking for the physical evidence of it, it may not be there. What the evidence is the faith that the Lord has planted in our heart. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the substance of things that the Lord has set before us. That is the evidence. I'm going to just read a couple of scriptures here. And my notes, I'm glad you can't see my notes because they're kind of scribbled here and scribbled there. And I'm going to try to follow them. Different things come along, just jot it in here. So this is in Ephesians 1, 15 to 19. And this will be from the Phillips translation. Since then I heard of this faith of yours in the Lord Jesus and the practical way which you are expressing it towards fellow Christians. I thank God continually for you, and I never give up praying for you. And this is my prayer, that God, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ and the all-glorious Father, will give you spiritual wisdom and insight to know Him, that ye may receive the inner illumination of the Spirit, which will make you realize how great is this hope He is calling to you. The magnificence and splendor of the inheritance promised to Christians, and how tremendous is the power available to us who believe. Those are the things upon which the Lord is planting in our hearts, that we can lay hold of His promise. We may not see things just falling into place, but there is evidence that He has placed these things in motion, because we know in our heart that they are true. We cannot kind of reason it out and by logic say, well, I can see that. It is by faith that He makes it real and alive in our heart. And our walk is a walk of faith. The Lord has made it real to our heart. We know that it's real, and we walk in it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. In Hebrews 11 and 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I'd like to read also in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, in the King James. For this cause I also, maybe just before I read that, we can read in the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter of Hebrews, and there lists all of the men there that at that time that were accounted as men that had walked by faith. It just goes through the list, you know, Enoch and all down through the all of these men that the Lord had led. They had not themselves inherited the promise that is still before us. They were walking in faith, believing that it will come to pass exactly as the Lord had said. There was that planted within their heart, that knowledge, that assurance that the road on which they were walking was true, that it would never fail. And as they submitted to the leading of the Spirit, they would be inheritors of those truths and those promises. And you know, as I was reading that, I was just thinking, just kind of going down that list, and I was just thinking, you know, we can write our names right in that list. We can just write our names right in that list. We walk that path, and our names are just added right to that list. That is the company that the Lord is raising up to walk and inherit the things that are opening up before us. And that process is just narrowing down and coming into the place where these things are being established. Tremendous hour in which we live in. 2 Timothy, for the which cause I also suffer these things, neither am I not ashamed. So this is Paul writing to Timothy, a very kind of a bit of insight, I guess. I'm sure that the Apostle Paul, when he was in prison writing these letters, he wasn't thinking, well, maybe there'll be folks in North America that sometime will pick these up and they'll be exhorted by it. He had no idea. He was writing to Timothy things that were on his heart. And it was real and alive to the Apostle Paul as he wrote. He was sitting there in prison, in chains, writing to Timothy to encourage Timothy, and those things were as real and alive in his heart because he was walking in that faith. The Lord had made it real in his heart, and he was encouraging others, those that he had ministered with, to walk that same way. 2 Timothy 1 and 12, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed against that day. I just like the way he says that. He says, I know who I have believed. I know it. And I am persuaded. In Romans, also in the Phillips translation, this is the Apostle Paul writing, Spirit of God not only maintains this hope within us, but he helps us in our present limitations. We need that. We need that help. We go through struggles. We have visited together as we've been having meals together and so on. We've visited together. And there are struggles. There are limitations. We need that building up of one another. And that the Spirit of the Lord raising that up and maintaining that hope alive within us. You know, if we focus, put our focus on all the difficulties we're going through, if that's the focus of our life, we will be going down, down, down. There's no strength in that. The Apostle Paul, I don't think we'll take the time this morning to read it, but I was reading over kind of his account of his time in prison there. And as he was sitting in prison, he was thanking the Lord for all the positive things that were going on in his life because of his imprisonment. He wasn't saying to the Lord, "What is happening to me?" I mean, I'm sure he maybe felt like that sometime. But he's saying, "I'm so thankful. You know, these prison guards that come in here, some of them have received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior." And he was edified by that. And he was thankful because other brethren were encouraged. Even though he was in prison, they were emboldened by that to stand up and minister and do the work. He was thankful for that. And his eyes were fixed on those things that were right, and they were the promises of the Lord, and they were true. They had some substance. He was not focused on, you know, "Oh, I got these chains. If I could only get out of here," you know. Maybe there was some of those days too. I don't know. But when he is writing, you know, you can just see that confidence there, that positive looking forward, not in a human way, but by the Spirit, the Lord speaking to the Spirit. We spend time in the presence of the Lord. We spend time, make ourselves available in the presence of the Lord. We can be busy, but we take the time to be in the presence of the Lord. That word of the Spirit will be alive in our heart. Those words of the Scriptures will be anchors in our life. Unmovable, unshakable, independent of circumstances, absolutely independent of circumstances, not even slightly affected by circumstances. You know, you just think of Abraham again. You know, not the promise that the Lord had given Abraham had no was not influenced in the slightest by the physical circumstances at the time. He is Lord over the circumstances. He commands the circumstances to bring to pass His will. And as Abraham received those things by faith and laid hold on them and believed them, they have come to pass. His purpose and His plan began to unfold, and it is still unfolding. As Abraham walked in those truths in that hour and in that day, those things unfolded line upon line and precept upon precept. They could not be stopped. We walk that same road. It is independent of our circumstances. What the Lord has made real to your heart cannot be turned aside by circumstances. It cannot be altered. Those things are true. You know, He says that I know the end from the beginning. I know the end from the beginning, which means to me that as He stands at the start of His work, He knows what the end will be. He knows it. There is no deviation in that. He knows what it will be. And when we walk with our hand in His hand, we walk that road. We walk that way. We too know. He unfolds it by His Spirit, and we know that we know that we know that what the Lord is doing, He will complete. It has no bearing at all on my present limitations. It has no bearing at all on my circumstances. It bears only, the only thing of any significance is His Word and what He has declared. And if I walk in that, I will walk in all of the fullness that He has set before us. There's nothing that can overcome us. There are no circumstances that can come into my life that can have any influence on that at all. The Lord allows what He allows that we might be strengthened by our circumstances. He will take us through deep water. He will lead us in places where we have to call out unto Him. And I've got to be honest here. I've said, if you don't help me here, I'm gone. I'm done. I don't know if anybody's ever had those feelings, but what's looming up here doesn't look good. But I'll tell you, He is in command. He is in command of those circumstances. He will let us walk to where He wants us to walk, but He will never abandon us. And His way, He will make a way where there seems to be no way. The Scriptures are absolutely full of those examples. You can hardly read anywhere in the Scriptures where those things are not evident. He led His people out of captivity in a remarkable way, and they came immediately upon an impossible circumstance where the armies were behind them and the sea was ahead of them. That was not an issue at all. In fact, that was deliverance. That was deliverance. That was His road of deliverance. He just parted the water. You go across, and then that just takes care of your enemies. He knows. He knows the way, and He walks with us. Let us have confidence in the way that the Lord is leading us, the things that He makes real to our heart, that He is also able to bring them to pass. He will take us through tests. He will take us through times of testing. Not that we are overcome, but that we might be overcomers. That we might rise and walk, put our confidence in Him and walk with confidence, knowing because He has overcome, we can overcome. In Romans 8:28, the Spirit of God not only maintains His hope within us, but helps us in our present limitations. For example, we do not know how to pray worthily as sons of God, but His Spirit within us is actually praying for those, praying for us in those agonizing longings which never find words. And God, who knows the hearts and secrets, understands, of course, the Spirit's intentions as He prays for those who love God. And He gives us that ability that we can pour our heart out to the Lord, and we can sense that these are not my words. It's coming from down here somewhere. Those things are coming here, and there's a communication going with the Lord, and He is causing us to walk in His way. So just Romans 10:17, King James says, "So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." I'd just like to read this, which was also prophesied this morning. I think, if a person waits long enough, probably everything you have to say will be ministered in one way or another anyway. But these things came out by prophecy this morning. And it's Ezekiel in the vision of the valley of dry bones. And that is a passage that just stirs my heart every time I read that. But Ezekiel saw in this vision that the Lord took him to was this valley of dry bones. And I have this kind of mental picture of that. I don't know what he actually saw, but you kind of have this mental picture of this valley and these bones bleaching in the sun and scattered all over the valley. And the Lord asking Ezekiel, can these bones live? It doesn't really look like it. I don't think he was thinking, how could I make this happen? He just answered correctly. He said, "Lord, you know. But I'll tell you, we might think that the Lord is moving in our midst, but because we are kind of spiritually elevated or spiritually, he's looking kind of for the cream of the crop. This valley of dry bones is us. That's us. That's our starting point That's our starting point. That's where we began. We were this valley of dry bones. Physically, humanly speaking, there is no way. There is no way that you could bring that together again. So that's what Ezekiel saw. He said, Lord, you know. He'd walked with the Lord long enough. He wasn't going to be sticking his neck out here. Again, he said unto... I'm starting in part of this. Let me just turn to that. I think I'd like to read more. So that's in Ezekiel 37. And verses 4. We'll start at verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of a valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And that is the thing that I think is the greatest miracle that took place. That fact that when Ezekiel prophesied, that was not a prophecy like you bones out there, you listen while the Lord speaks to you. It was not like that. It was a prophecy that commanded something that was impossible to come into being. Amen. It was very similar to when Jesus stood before Lazarus' tomb and said, Lazarus, come forth. There is nothing that could stand against that authority. Lazarus had to come forth. The word of the Lord had declared. And when Ezekiel prophesied to the dry bones, that is what took place. Those dry bones began to come together. When that prophecy, that is an example of where we began. We were without hope. We were walking in probably what we felt was good things, but we were like this valley of dry bones. But when that prophecy went out, those dry bones could hear the word of the Lord. Today, we can hear the word of the Lord. And when we hear the word of the Lord, faith is built in our heart. When faith is built in our heart, it brings to pass hope. That hope that is in our heart is not built on my kind of encouraging myself. It is rock solid. It is like Abraham. Abraham walked in hope, not seeing the entire fulfillment of what the Lord had said. But that faith was planted in his heart. And when that faith was there, he knew that those things would come to pass. The Lord has opened our ears so that we can hear his word. When he speaks to us, we can hear. There might be some things that we have yet to comprehend. No doubt we are very immature in our walk. And we are... do a lot of, you know, when you're dealing with little children, you know, revisiting that process again with our grandchildren, that's a big job. I mean, that is a big job. These guys have a mind of their own. But they can hear. But they have to learn to walk. They have to learn to respond to what they hear and walk in obedience to it. But there is no doubt, that when the Lord is speaking to us by His Spirit, we can hear it. Yeah, that's right. We can hear it. Amen. And if we can hear it, it will do a work in us. Yeah. There will be something born in us that will enable us to walk in what He is saying. Yeah. He is not leaving us as this valley of dry bones. He is not leaving us there. That valley, you can read that prophecy through. Those bones, when they began to hear the word of the Lord, there was a shaking and a moving. An activity began. They started coming together, bone to its bone, order coming out of absolute chaos. We are seeing order coming out of absolute chaos. We are beginning to walk in the order of the kingdom. These are not things afar off. This is the day and the hour in which we live. We are walking in the fulfillment of these things. And as we hear the word of the Lord and submit to that, we begin to come into order. And you know, when you read that prophecy through, that whole company that started off as dry bones stood upon its feet, an exceeding great army. An exceeding great army. We are on that road. We are on that road. You know, an army has a purpose. It has a head. It has order. It has authority. It has power. It has power to overcome. What an hour. What an hour. What a day. These things are a living reality in which we walk today. He is speaking to us. Let those words have an effect upon us. You know, we are exhorted today not to let the frivolous things come into our life and rob us of the things of great value. That's possible. But let us not do that. Let us, when we hear His word, let us walk according to His way. He doesn't ask more than we can do. He doesn't set the bar so high that we cannot attain it. You don't treat your family like that. I mean, you don't treat your children. You recognize where they're at. But I'll tell you, and sometimes you have to tell them over and over again until they get it. But it's amazing. I've been amazed at watching our children who are in that immature state now with children of their own. How did they get there? You know, you can remember how they were. Well, I'll tell you, there's a process, but they will get there. We are in the process. We are in the hour. We are hearing His word. There is His order is being established among us. His promises are being fulfilled. There is a walk by faith. If we come here to these meetings so that we can see spectacular miracles, we'll probably go away disappointed. If we come here with our ear and our heart in tune with the mind and will of the Spirit, we will be filled to overflowing. We will be strengthened and we will be edified. In John 10, John 10, 1 to 5, Jesus says, speaking, He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name." I just underlined that part. There's a very personal and individual connection with the shepherd. It says he knows you by name. He knows you by name. He knows your circumstances. He's not just talking to this vast company. He knows you. He knows where you're walking. And when he speaks, because he's your shepherd, you know his voice. That's a present truth. That's where we walk today. And he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his sheep, he goeth before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. They know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from them, for they know not the voice of strangers. That's a wonderful thing. That is a tremendous thing. I remember the brethren teaching on prophecy when I was growing up And I don't know how this came about, but I guess there was some concern about prophecy that may not be spot on and kind of maybe having a wrong influence. I don't know. But I remember one of the brethren saying, there's no chance. There's no chance. Even a child among us recognizes when the Spirit is not on. And when prophecy comes forth that is not of the Spirit, there is a recognition in the body. There is a recognition. And he says that. He says, another they will not follow. They know the voice of the shepherd. And another one they will not follow. That's where we're walking. He is the shepherd of his sheep. Stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. And other sheep that I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. And no doubt that part of the prophecy is yet to be fully fulfilled. But these are the things that the Lord has in process for us. I would just like to read, just be very brief here. But I mentioned how the Apostle Paul's manner of living wasn't to focus on his present circumstances beyond measure. I expect that he asked the Lord that if he couldn't, please get out of prison. I expect that. That he asked that. I don't think it was a very pleasant experience. But this is the way, when he was communicating to the church at Philippi, this is the way that he expressed his circumstances. Now, concerning myself, this is in the Phillips translation, I want you to know, my brothers, that what has happened to me has an effect turned out to the advantage of the gospel. For first of all, my imprisonment means a personal witness for Christ before the palace guards, not to mention those others who come and go. Good place to let your light shine is in prison. And he could see that happening, that taking place. Then it means that most of our brothers somehow taking fresh heart in the Lord from the very fact that I'm a prisoner for Christ's sake have shown far more courage in boldly proclaiming the word of God. I know that there are some preaching Christ out of jealousy in order to annoy me, but some are preaching him in good faith. And these latter are preaching of their love for me, for they know that God has set me here in prison to defend the right of the gospel. So there was not a big, long lamentation about his circumstances. He could see the hand of the Lord even there in prison. The Lord had it for a purpose, for a time and for a purpose. I'd like to also read in 2 Corinthians 4. Four, 7 to 14. This is in the Phillips translation again, 2 Corinthians 4:7-14. This priceless treasure we hold, so to speak, in a common earthenware jar, to show that the splendid power of it belongs to God and not to us. And that is a good description. This priceless treasure is in a very frail vessel to show and to demonstrate the power and the authority that there is in the Spirit. To show that the splendid power of it belongs to God and not to us. Because there's no way, you know, as these brethren ministered and as we fit into our place in the body and allow the Spirit to work for us, work through us, there's no way that in ourselves we could accomplish anything at all. I mean, we couldn't do anything. But yet, there is that evidence that a work is taking place. The vessel may be very fragile, may be very, very limited, but there's something within it doing a work that is not that way. It is able to do the work of the Spirit because of the authority that is vested there. Don't look at the vessel. Don't put emphasis on the vessel. I can't do that. I can't do that. You absolutely can do that because there's one that dwells within you is more than able. He is more than able, and He has chosen. He has chosen to do His work through you. Be confident in that. Be confident in that. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, because He that is within you is greater than those things that come against us. We are handicapped on all sides, but we are never frustrated. We are puzzled, but never in despair. He doesn't say that, sometimes we have good days, sometimes bad days. He said, we are never in despair. That's a good outlook, I think, you know. These things come along, but we are never overcome by them. We are persecuted, but we never have to stand it alone. We may be knocked down, we are never knocked out. Every day we are experiencing something of the death of the Lord Jesus, so that we may also know the power of the life of Jesus in these bodies of ours. Yes, we who are living are always being exposed to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be plainly seen in our mortal lives. We are always facing death, but this means that you will know that you know more and more of life. Our faith is like that mentioned in the scripture. I believe, therefore I spoke. For we too speak because we believe, and we know for certain that He who has raised up the Lord Jesus from death shall also raise us up with Jesus. We stand together before Him. And I just one more scripture before closing here. And this is in Romans 8:38-39. I have become absolutely convinced that neither death nor life, neither messenger of heaven nor monarch of earth, neither what happens today nor what may happen tomorrow, neither the power from on high or from below, nor anything else in God's whole world has any power to separate us from the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is no way that those outward things can overcome or deter or prevent that walk that the Lord has set before us to walk in. There is something that resides within us that has already overcome. Praise God. Lord bless you. If there's any announcements?
Just a reminder, at the back of the sanctuary, we have a booklet out that's free, This Move of the Spirit, recently printed. This is not just a reprint of what we had. This particular one includes a chapter on the early church, The Present Truth, 1948, The Spirit is Moving, and The Revival of Now. The contributors to this book was writings from Brother Wager, Brother Harry Colt, Brother Wanigus, and an anonymous writer as well. These are in the back of the room. It's a great thing to read. It's a great thing to give to some of your friends and those that are interested in what the history is and what we're all about. So if you would like some, just pick them up at the back of the room.
Over the long weekend in May, there's a young people's event planned. So that's May the 18th, beginning with supper on the Friday, and then concluding on the 21st, after breakfast, is a event for the young people. It will take place just southeast of Camrose, Alberta. So that's a different location from last year. It's called Lone Prairie Camp. We'll post an event on Facebook, as well as we'll get information to all the assemblies regarding the weekend. If you could RSVP as soon as possible, even if you're a maybe, we'd still like to include you as part of the group that's going. We need to get numbers to the camp as soon as we can. They require the information several weeks before, so they know how to staff the facility. We encourage all the young people to look and attend. Even those who are older, people that have already been in the workforce or university students, definitely wanting to invite everyone. Our young people group that was here was pretty young, but we're definitely not only restricting it to a 13 to 18 kind of category, right? So as always with events like these, encouraging you to attend, of course, and then also encouraging you to bring a friend if you'd like to do that. It's a great atmosphere to introduce someone to a weekend of activity and sharing with what God has in mind for us. So if you have any other questions, let myself or Elizabeth know, and we'll be able to help you out.
This is an invitation for the young ladies and the young men who would like to fly a rocket. So for this coming camp, we are inviting you if you're interested. A lot got missed. We already have 15 signed up. You will be making a rocket out of balsa wood, and then you will be flying it, but far enough away from the airport, so you won't hit any of the airplanes, because they go 500 to 1,000 feet. So please let me know as soon as possible, because I will be buying the materials for you, so I need to know the number so that I can buy the materials for you before next summer camp here at North Battleford. Thank you.
That reminds me about getting liability waivers signed. So. this is just the usual wrap-up announcement. Thank you all very much for your participation in volunteering in the various areas to help us, especially the dining hall. I think we did it. It was a change, but I think we're accustomed to it. Thank you. The change that we undertook there was quite expensive, but we had a donation come in. I'll just say that it was very sweet, and the donor may know about it if she can see from beyond. So very, very sweet that we were able to do that. We apologize for not having the lawn mowed this weekend. Certainly by summer camp we will get on that. The job sort of just takes over again when you leave, and we have our tools out. Not me. Dwayne and Isaac and Mason are busy on the grounds in preparation for camp almost as soon as we are left here. So we appreciate anything that you can do to help make the cleanup go a little smoother for us, so that we can get straight into nailing boards and screwing screws in and all the stuff that goes on. Again, it's wonderful to be together, and we look forward very much so to being together again in this summer. So I think we will, if I could get someone who has the microphone, is it close by? The roving mic? Dennis, would you mind? We'll stand, and I'll ask Brother Merv Smith if you would dismiss us and ask God's blessing upon us.
Our loving Father, we are so grateful when we hear your voice, being given understanding of your plans and your wonderful word. We pray, Lord, that you would dismiss us with thy blessing. And as we go to our homes, we pray that you would, your Holy Spirit would go before us and that each one would travel home safely. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.